And so and then finally, peacemakers also didn't believe in taking an interest and a private land, the land to be private, land trust and so forth, and community. So, and for 7 years, we lived in community with another couple just outside of Cincinnati. We called it Gano Peacemakers, G-A-N-O. That was the little enclave where we lived. That was a very interesting thing because we knew that Cincinnati was very, very bigoted in, you know, in general. And so Ernest and Marion Bromley, the couple with whom we lived, bought the house and did it, you know, because we all moved in. And for a while, I think it was fine because they thought we were the servants. And when they found out we weren't, there was pandemonium there. And we lived right across from the church. And once Wally and Ernest went over there, there was some kind of program. And those people were so nasty that they felt that they would really harm them. And when they walked out, they didn't look back, but they heard one woman say, "Don't do it, don't do it." So we don't know just what, we never knew exactly what it was that they said they shouldn't do. And somebody said to us, "The birds and the bees don't live together. Why should the blacks and the whites live together?" So, but things calmed down. One man was very nice. He came and played his auto harp for us, and so that was very nice. And we, you know, after a while, we didn't have any more trouble. So, and got to know a few of the people, not many. But and anyway, that was a very interesting interlude. And as I said, we lived together for 7 years. And then Wally and I left because we decided we wanted to, I guess I went back to school. When I was on the newspaper, I did go back to college and finish because I'm sort of compulsive. I don't know why I bothered. I went to Western Reserve and got a degree, working on a newspaper, got a degree in reporting, you know, so in journalism, which was kind of crazy. And then what my work was so often, I did all sorts of odd jobs when we were living in Cincinnati and so forth. I was at the art museum as a model for people who were, you know, painting and drawing. I worked at a historical society. I typed a lot of envelopes. And it got a little boring. So I decided to go back to school after I'd graduated, 10 years after I'd been in college, and I went to Ohio State and got a degree in speech therapy, speech correction, thinking I could get part-time work doing that. Didn't work out all that well, but anyway, I did that. But it was after I got out, sometime after I got out, that Wally got spinal meningitis when I was in college, and I thought only kids got that, and I thought he was going to die. But because, it was only because a few years before there had been some drug that had been discovered, or, you know, that saved his life. And that was the only time we ever contacted the IRS, because somebody had been out to the house where we lived with the Bromleys, some agents, a couple of agents, and we thought we ought to let them know that they might have been exposed to meningitis. So we did call them one time. That was the only time. But we had a friend who lived in Philadelphia, and he was doing what they called interracial housing. Now, Wally would never let anybody say that. He said, "Interracial, you mean a monkey and a human being, etc. They might be different races." But anyway, Wally, you know, really was recuperating, and this friend was a builder, and he said we could come and live in one of the houses he was working on, and Wally could do whatever he could. So that's how we got to Philadelphia. And we lived in a place called Powelton Village, which was known for being supposedly a diverse community near the University of Pennsylvania.